What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jonathan Elias.
And I am Star Rock.
And this is the first episode of the year of the AURM podcast. Woo! Applause! Y'all, we got sound effects now. All right, y'all. So this episode, we're going to be talking about everything black, unapologetically black. There you go. We start in Black History Month with this awesome, awesome podcast. And I can't wait to talk to you about everything you got going on, Star.
And everything you got going on. We were actually talking about this behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Some of the things we've been working on. Junkets.
Yeah, junkets. Right. A lot of stuff coming up. I just did one for Harlem. You know, talk to Megan Good and Jerry Johnson. Amazing, amazing black women. So we're excited about season two. I just did Gabrielle Union for Truth Be Told. She's going to be on Octavia Spencer's third season of Truth Be Told. And it talks about how the media does not give a F about talking about black women and girls that are trafficked. Wow. So it is very, very possible, very, very deep. And I watched the entire season in one day. So it took a lot out of me. Gabrielle Union opened up about her getting raped. And when she was, the police asked what she was wearing and, you know, why it happened, kind of to put the blame on her. So it was powerful. It was very powerful.
I mean, we saw how the media treated Megan Thee Stallion.
Come on. Right?
That's a whole other situation.
Speak on it.
The lengths people went through to discredit her.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on a lighter note, because we could get back into that. That's a whole other topic. But on a lighter note, I did a junket last week for Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Ooh.
That is Marvel Comics' newest offering to the MCU, coming to Disney Plus in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm a comic book head. I'm so excited about Moon Girl specifically because it's definitely family friendly. It's one of the first comics I bought when I was pregnant with my daughter, and I said, this is going to be the comic book that I used to intro her to comic books. She's six now.
Aww.
And she's into it, so I can't wait for the cartoon.
Aww.
I chatted with Lawrence Fishburne, who he's like he's executive producer, but he's also a character in an episode or two. Very big comic book nerd as
nice.
Well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Actress Diamond White. Diamond White was in I can't remember which Tyler Perry. It was one of the Halloween Boom. She's been in a lot of things, I most remember her from one of the Madea Booms. It sounds so bad right now. But she voices the main character, Moon Girl. Moon Girl is like In the cartoon, she's not. No, in the cartoon, she's 13. In the comic, she's 9. But she's a little girl.
Okay.
She's a genius. She's the smartest person in the MCU. Brown girl.
Wow.
Black girl.
Wow.
It's going to be something to see. And visually, the cartoon is really nice.
Ooh.
It's giving.
Okay. So. Well, big ups to all the stuff that we're looking forward to watching and the people that we interviewed. We out here doing the damn thing as well.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about anything you got going on, you know, for this year. What were your New Year resolutions? Let's talk about it.
I like to think of resolutions as ongoing. I don't always want to be like, okay, so this is the top of the year. I'll set an intention for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So my intention for the year is completion.
Mm.
I have a lot of creative projects that I've started and abandoned, or that I want to start, have not started. And I just want to see something that I started maybe last year or the year before come to full circle. There is one thing that I actually have to complete. I am going to be hopefully a part of, there's going to be a book series on black women telling feminist stories.
Okay.
And so I'm one of the people that'll be a part of that book. That's all I can say right now. I wrote my first draft, sort of, it was like my pitch. Did that last year, got my edits back. And so I do have to finish that. I think I have until March.
Nice.
So definitely gonna finish that. But then other stuff too, like stuff that is just for me.
Yeah, we love it. So me and my best friends, we every year for the first brunch of the year, we come together and we have one word, like a group goal. And usually that group goal becomes my New Year resolution. So I think 2023 must be the year of executing because that's ours, execution. Yes. All right. Last year was accountability. This year is executing. And I'm super happy that that's it, because I started off January just like with guns blazing. I have so many projects that I've created that now I'm going to be pitching to different networks, media outlets. Literally, as we're leaving the brunch, I get hit up by a homeboy that just left Netflix and joined Tubi and said, pitch me some shows. So I'm pitching shows. I'm doing the Issa Rae and the Quinta Brunson. I'm pitching shows that I created and that I could star in or act in as well. So got my acting agent. That's part of the executing, is getting an acting agent, because I already have a commercial agent. I got my acting coach, Leland Thompson. What's up? You know, shout out to him. And I booked a show, Complicated, Atlanta.
Nice. So you're going to be on our TV screen.
Yeah.
I mean, you already are.
But yeah, like, but this time I'm going to be butt naked, because on my first episode, I am having sex.
Oh, shoot.
So, but, you know, I say that to say this is the first month and I've already accomplished so much, and I know that there's so much more to come. So I want everybody out there, you know, even if it's not a part of your New Year resolution, just throw that in there, execute and complete.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me about, okay, not to harp on this, but tell me about simulated sex. Is it awkward? How awkward is
it? Well, we'll find out in March. We're going to find out in March, because I haven't shot it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to let you know. We're going to come back the next episode
and we'll talk
about that. Yeah, because I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Not going to hold you. I'm a little nervous, but I know that this is part of the journey. You know, the greats have done it. You know, so I'm just working on my squats. Let's just say that.
So tell me more about Tubi, because I've been seeing like clips from some of the content on there, and it's creative.
It is very creative.
Sure.
It is very creative. You know, you have your some great, some not so great. I'm definitely trying to be a part of the great. You know, they have given us a lot of opportunities, you know, Black creatives, and that's what I love about it. You know, for those that aren't so great, it's because of, you know, not having enough money, or, you know, the production not being up to par. But it's not the storyline or the creative part about it. So that just goes to show that, you know, once you have a backing, then, you know, we will make it. Because if you had thrown Insecure on Tubi with no money, it might look bootleg. Yeah, you know what I mean? But they had HBO backing it up, because they believed in her. So once we get more of these major platforms to believe in us, then we're not going to be coming out with no BS. You feel me? So I'm very excited about that process. I met up with the people from All Black. I'm trying to, you know, really capitalize on these Black networks and media outlets, because that's what we've been asking for, right?
Yeah.
So like, once we get them, we can't be sitting back like, this shit is ghetto, or the quality. So what? Okay, so what? Because these white people still gonna support theirs, so we gotta support ours. Let's keep that within, you know, the family. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, how it might look and how we can make it better. But don't be saying that out loud. You know, we need to come together. Shoot.
Sometimes I think bloopers add character.
Yeah, it sure does. I like watching them.
but no, I definitely get what you're saying. We definitely should support the creators we know. Everyone knows a creative. Everyone knows someone with a project.
It's hard, man.
Yeah,
it's hard out here.
Hard.
It's hard out here. You got
lots of competition.
Not only competition, you got when you start pitching it to different people, them stealing your ideas.
That's
like
a big one.
It's a big one. And it's like, imagine having a baby and they just take it and get away with it
and act like it's theirs.
You know what I mean? That's hard. So we need to support each other.
I remember I worked for a network. I won't say the network's name, but there was a running joke in the office, because they would always say like, oh, we need to tap into the creatives in the office, and like they even had like a pitch competition. Nobody participated.
Yeah,
because it was like a running joke. We're like, nope, we've seen them steal ideas before. We're not doing that. So
I probably know the network.
You might.
I worked with one just like that. So yeah. I'm excited about that. I just want all of us to go out there and do what we thought that we couldn't do, you know, because I never saw myself pitching an idea and starring in it or even shooting stuff myself. You know, I'm also going to be doing that. I'm shooting a short and also my own teaser for another show that we're going to be pitching. So it's an exciting year. It's an exciting year.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I want to write more fiction. Mm-hmm. So that's something. Write more fiction and then maybe pitch a nonfiction book. We'll see. A lot of things in the works. Again, have a billion ideas. Just need to act on one. Because I think that's part of my problem too. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. Okay, now I'm feeling this. I'm going to do this. And then it's like, you didn't focus on anything.
That's the worst. You definitely have to, focus on a project and make sure that you complete that. That's why execution, that's the biggest thing in these, because we have all the ideas. Now we just got to learn how to, you know, really set our mind to that one and finish it and then move on to the next. There we go. All right. I like that. I know. Fiend to press that button. All right. So let's talk about some stuff that is happening in Black culture. Yeah. Shall we get into any new movies that came out?
You People.
All right. Let's talk about what's out here. Okay. You People.
So we just talked about. Yeah. We both saw it on Netflix.
I saw it last night.
Oh, you saw it last night.
I saw it last night. So let's talk about what we heard about it before. So now what I heard about it before was it's amazing. It's so cute.
Oh, really?
I loved everybody.
Wow.
And what did you hear?
I heard a lot of mixed reactions. I heard everything. Like, people said they hated it. I heard people that said, like me, I feel like it was cute. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone it's amazing. It was cute for what it was. A cute little funny movie. But then I heard people that were just, they were just in the middle. They were like, I either loved or disliked it.
Yeah. So I'll go and say what I thought about it. Okay. So I saw this with Bernie Mac, Ashton Kutcher. I saw this years ago. All right. The same story.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see nothing different from that story except for real acting. We love Lauren London. We love Lauren London, but I could not get into how she just felt so cold. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not feel the love between her and
chemistry thing between them.
There was no chemistry. Like, even in the shot of the actual picture, the picture of the show on Netflix, like it's got them holding hands. It looked like she don't even want to be there. And, you know, like I said, you know, I love Lauren London. I love Nipsey. You know, shout out to them throwing a lot of his, like, talking about marathons, showing his murals, playing his music. That's my family. You know, he's actually a cousin by marriage because we're both Eritrean. So I love that. And I love, you know, supporting Lauren. But, like, damn, they could have thrown Kyla Pratt or Megan Good or somebody up on there. And, like, I would have got a real reaction. Like, I felt no chemistry between her and what's the white boy name?
Jonah Hill.
I've saw Jonah giving his all. I actually saw that he put his act, because I mean he co-wrote it with Kenya Barris. So like, I understand that, but like, god damn, like, it was like she ain't even want to be there. It was hard for me to watch, so I fell asleep for half of it.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
So did you ever get to see it?
I got to the end. I see where it was cute. But like I said, I saw a better version when I saw it with Ashton Kutcher and Bernie Mac.
Oh, dang. And you know the Ashton Kutcher, Bernie Mac one. That's based on Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yeah.
Sidney Poitier and all of that.
Yes.
I definitely agree with you. The chemistry between Jonah and Lauren, to me, it just gave friend. It never gave.
Yeah, friend.
Yeah.
So, like, you never see them really F. You know, you barely saw them kiss. Like, when I saw them under the covers, I said, I know damn well they're not going to show them effing. And they sure didn't. They showed their feet touching.
Like, I like that they didn't, though. I like the insinuation, I guess.
Yeah. I would like that if I could actually get the chemistry between them.
Yeah.
So I could, it could insinuate it. What it insinuated was they had a sleepover. And they told each other little girlfriend stories.
I thought Julia Louis-Dreyfus was hilarious.
Yes.
David Duchovny was surprisingly funny. I didn't expect him to be. And I feel like a lot of it was improv. Like, you know, the scene with him and the piano singing Everyday People.
Yeah, John Legend.
Oh, my God. And then, like, the microaggressions were really funny to me because they felt familiar. Like, there's a scene when she, when David Duchovny was like, he was staring at her for a minute, and then he was like, I like your braids.
Yeah.
Exhibit has braids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, see, and I've experienced, yeah. I know all of us
have
experienced some those weird liberal white people microaggressions. That is a very specific genre of microaggression.
Yeah.
And that's what I got from it. So I thought that was funny. I don't know. Eddie Murphy, he was good, but
it was given too much. It was just given to. I love Nia Long. I love Nia Long and her sarcasm, her timing, her comedic timing is actually really good. The mom, I liked her, the Jewish mom, even though, you know, it kind of irked me, but like I liked her acting. You know, I liked the story that they told on her side. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I didn't hate it. So
I didn't hate it, but I was just like, okay.
But yeah, no, it was like a cute little date. It was cute for what it was. But I do want to say, stories like that, that's cool. It's cute. But I want to see some more variations of that type of story.
Yeah, maybe like, that's what it was.
Maybe it's like, I don't know, black woman dates Asian guy or. Asian guy or Asian girl dates black man or black queer
or like,
person that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
Then goes across
African American marries an African, family.
Whole.
Because like that right there, we're getting a lot more than we did before, you know? So like the fusion of those cultures and families, that right there is what
Caribbean
I want to see.
American, African-American.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't care about none of that. And Jewish people and black people getting together. I mean, I see it all the time. I love both cultures. Okay. I'm not saying I don't, but like we've seen this story, you know, it wasn't hard for them to write it because we see it all the time. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Shall we talk about Oscars and all that? Yeah. All that good stuff. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You bring that in because I know you're talking.
So I pay less attention to award shows. I mean, I've always kind of been the person to, I would watch award shows for the actual performances. Mm-hmm. I like the performances. I don't really necessarily care who gets what. I've never been that kind of person. But yeah, like I know there have been some upsets. Like, okay, so first of all, we know that Angela Bassett is nominated for, I think, Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Black Panther 2, I would have to pull up the whole list of people, but people were upset about the Woman King, and
I was too.
Did you see the Woman King?
I did.
I didn't get to see it.
I absolutely loved it. The only thing that I did not like, and y'all don't beat me up, but I'm African, so I could say it. I did not like Viola Davis's accent at all. Like it was very, very hard to watch that part. I'm half Nigerian, y'all. So I know a West African accent. And I know when somebody's trying to put one on, it's kind of like cringy for me. But the other actors, woo.
What do you think about the accents in Black Panther?
The same.
Okay.
The same. But for some reason, this one was, because I still saw Annalise Keating. You know what I mean?
I feel like that too. Like, yeah. Well, she's a good actress,
she
but I
is.
Feel like when I see her and other stuff now, I just can't get Annalise Keating
out
of my head.
She was a lawyer in Africa, right, to me. But no. I love the story. I love the acting. I love the action. Loved, like I said, the storyline. The accents for everybody else, I absolutely loved it. So I still do think that the Woman King movie and the supporting actors should have gotten at least a nomination.
Something.
And I think that the Academy or whatever, you know, just gave put all the eggs in the Wakanda Forever basket. They was like, this is all we going to give
like,
y'all,
that's the representation
Negroes.
Y'all got.
All right. Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all going to be happy with this. But. No, we're not. We're not. Yeah. So I definitely think that Woman King should have gotten something.
Okay. I think people need to figure out if they are for awards or not. Because I feel like there's always this thing of like whenever announcements get made, of course, everybody's not going to be happy with whatever. Everybody's always going to feel like somebody got snubbed or why did they get it? Blah, 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 blah. But then you always see people like on social media. See, this is why we need to support our own. Which never happens. Which never happens, right? We don't support our own either. We talk trash about our own award shows. And like, so it's like, do you care about award shows or not? Like, which one is it? I mean, for me, like I said, awards are great. I'm not going to lie. Like, it does feel good to be acknowledged for your work, you know, especially when you're a performer. Because when you perform, even if you are someone who you perform for yourself and for your own satisfaction or you compete with yourself, you know that other eyeballs are on it. Mm-hmm. So when other people let you know, oh, I see this, I relate to you, this is quality work, that does feel good. But it's like, how much stock are we going to put in seeking validation elsewhere? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a balance that we haven't really.
I mean, when it comes to us like supporting or caring about these award shows, I do think that we should, you know, we should care about it, even though we say we don't. I know we do, deep down inside. And not only because of that, you know, wanting the acceptance and whatnot, but the acknowledgement for the work that you put in. Right. When this is the highest award you can get for, you know, regardless if it's by white people or black people or whoever, if this is the highest award you can get to celebrate and congratulate your success in a movie or a show, then you deserve it. The reason why we act like we don't care is because, you know, one of them hurt ones, like somebody shoots you down. I ain't want you ugly anyways. And why was you trying to holler? Like, what? It don't make no sense. So we do care, you know, it's just, you know, we hurt. And respectfully, like we should be, like, it's not fair. And you have to also understand for these actors and actresses and singers and creatives or whoever that are getting these awards, they're getting a lot more work from just being nominated. Not only actually getting the award, but just being nominated. Look at Cheryl Lee Ralph from Abbott Elementary, which I'm not going to hold you. I mean, it's a great show, but like all these awards that they're getting, it's kind of like, okay, we're gonna give y'all, like, you know, y'all stuff
diversity.
Because we've had a lot of other great stuff that have come out that don't get anything close to it. So that's almost like, you know, the white man kind of picking the one, you know, little black show, and then we're gonna give y'all all these awards. But I'm still happy that they're getting it. And look at Cheryl Lee Ralph right now; she's about to start singing at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. She wasn't going to do that if she ain't get all these awards or at least nominations. So she got that because she's been doing this since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
She's the original Dina and Dream Girl. So it's like, for someone who works hard, who believes in their craft, dedicates and just sacrifices so much, we deserve the acknowledgement. We deserve the awards. We deserve it all. So we should care about it. Shouldn't act like we don't.
And I feel I got to clarify, because I said I don't care about award shows.
Right.
I just want to make sure.
Right. No, but like you also said that other people, like, you know, black people, we either care about the awards or we don't care, or like we get mad or we say we not mad. You know, yeah, we got to be strong in what we believe in.
There is a movie that got snubbed that, I will say I'm actually surprised. I mean, I don't, you know, you never know what goes into it, because it's like a panel of people. Till, the Emmett Till movie.
Uh-huh.
So I saw it last year, and I remember I went into it and I was like, I do not want to see another movie about Black Death.
Yeah.
I really don't. But I saw it and I was just like, okay, first of all, like everyone that pulled strings on it, like the director, the executive producers, like Whoopi Goldberg was in it, but she was also an executive producer. The director was a black woman. I can't think of her name right now. And then there's a woman, Danielle, I'm going to say her last name wrong. I need to pull her up. But she played Emmett Till's mom.
Oh, she was amazing.
Danielle Deadwhite. I don't want to say her name wrong. I'm just Danielle D.
We'll say that.
We'll figure it out. But she played Emmett Till's mom. She's a great actress. She's been in other things. And I saw that and I was like, regardless of how anyone feels about, oh, this is another movie, trauma porn. It's not trauma porn, by the way. It's not. The team around it handled it with care. They did a really good job. But yeah, Danielle, I think, I think she was robbed.
See what I'm saying?
When I saw, I was like, she blew me away. I'm like, she's such an amazing actress. I almost didn't even recognize her because I had seen her. I think she really came onto my radar in The Harder They Fall, that Western. And she played a completely different character. I mean, that's what actors do.
Right.
But I almost didn't recognize her until. Wow. So I do feel like she was snubbed. Like, and if this wasn't the movie for her, that did it. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
But no, her awards are coming. I want to say her name is Danielle Deadwire or Deadwiler. I don't even want to jack up the woman's name. But
Danielle D.
Danielle D.
You deserved better, girl. You deserved better. But yeah. Okay. So we'll still watch it, I guess. And we'll see.
No, they crafted a really nice story around. Because I think if you learned about Emmett Till, like growing up, usually the focus is on the murder and that the murder set off the civil rights movement. But this movie humanizes him. You get to see the mother-son relationship. Mm-hmm. And then how Mamie was very instrumental in.
Yeah.
Sparking the civil
sometimes
women don't get their props and just do when it comes to activism and civil rights, but none of this that
I think she single-handedly kind of like sparked the whole civil rights
movement. She understood the power of the image, and so they did a beautiful job telling the story. They did not show the violence. They showed other kinds of violence, like microaggressions, which were very hard to endure, like when they were in the courtroom and people yelling out all kinds of slurs and trying to make Mamie look like she's some criminal and she raised a criminal son and same stuff that happens now.
It was even to the point I read a script that I was going to audition for. I don't think it's this one, but there was another script on the trial of Emmett Till. And there was a point where I think they came back. I don't know if it was a year later or a couple years later, I forget, but to try and reopen it. And the prosecuting team kind of went and got the story of his father, who he barely even knew, who was out in war, and said that why was he executed? Found out that he was sleeping with a white woman or flirting with a white woman, and said basically said, well, he came from him, so that's probably what just happened to which makes no effing sense. But just seeing that and to know that this was just a couple decades ago, which is super, super wild. So that's why I do think that
they even accused her of lying.
Of lying.
Like, oh, yeah, Emmett Till is not dead.
Like,
he's
what?
In the
Come
world.
Come on, man. Come on. So, that's why, when I hear about, we're tired of black trauma and all that, I'm not, because you might be tired, but this new generation that's coming up that is not getting taught this in school, they need to see it. So I'm saying keep it up. Emancipation, keep it up. Talking about slave world, keep it up. Because, look, we're going to be the only people that's going to teach ourselves this, because I didn't learn none of this in school.
We need the balance. We do.
Those
stories.
We do need the
story. There needs to be balance.
Of course. But there is. It's not like we coming out with a slave movie every year. It's like every couple of years. It ain't nothing to tell a story.
And I will say, there's a stat that said in 2020 was probably the most diverse year in Hollywood yet. Mm-hmm. But there's still sort of an imbalance in terms of the storytellers.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Now we're seeing more people in front of the scenes, but we still need more of our black or BIPOC people of color writers, directors. We
absolutely
still need more of that.
Absolutely.
The scenes too,
so. Absolutely.
So we're making progress though, but I agree. People get on Twitter or just any kind of social media all the time and reveal how much they don't know. There was a supposed hip hop authority that tweeted that a legacy hip hop authority, some social media manager tweeted that they didn't know DJ Jazzy Jeff was an actual DJ. So when you see stuff like that, that's when it's like, we need those history lessons across the board, especially now with people in governorships trying to erase any kind of black history. So, it's important.
Yeah. All right. So let's lastly talk about everything happening in black culture. So I want to start with music. Okay, we got Super Bowl And we got Beyonce.
You mean the Rihanna concert?
We got the Rihanna concert because I don't even know who's playing in the Super Bowl. I don't know if they've announced it.
No, all I know is apparently for the first time we're going to have two black quarterbacks facing off.
Yes, I do know that.
Nothing to me.
I do know that. It means something to me just because they.
I mean, it's great. It's cool. But yeah. Like. It doesn't.
We don't know their names.
I'm not into football. Look, I'm sorry.
No, I am
my
into.
My brother's gonna kill me because my brother loves football.
Nah. All right. Yeah, I'm super hyped about this. Yeah, you know, it's just it's Re, and I know that she's gonna bring it. You know, I know these artists they don't get paid for it, and a lot of times they even put their own money into it. Mama's a billionaire, mm-hmm. So Mama's gonna throw on some fireworks. Mama's gonna throw on some dances. It's gonna be a show. We see what she's delivered with Savage Fenty. We've seen how she's single handedly taken over Victoria's Secret's lane. So I just know she's gonna bring it, and I just love her as a performer, as an artist, and just her character. You know, she's just a bad bee who don't give a damn about nothing. And I love it. And I know she's going to show the hell out.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good. I mean, she's smart. She's aware. She knows, like, fans are riding her for new music. I don't know if we're going to get new music at that performance. But, you know, she knows that she has a lot to prove, a lot to show. Yeah. Not even a lot to prove, but, you know. She has to come with it because people have been missing her. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
And Beyonce, the first day of Black History, announced her Renaissance tour.
Yeah.
With no music videos out yet.
I mean, can we get some visuals, B?
At this point, I don't care about it. At this point, honestly.
I still care.
No, honestly, it's disrespectful how she has held out. And then you're going to give little teasers as if we were going to get one by one each week.
I'm like, can we get another movie or something? Like, come
I don't
on.
Want it. I don't want it.
Cause we don't even know what the acts are.
I don't want it. And then, yeah. Well, I thought it was three acts.
Four.
Four?
I think it's supposed to be four.
So that's four different albums she was supposed to come out with?
I don't know. But we didn't know what the acts were. Like, I think the album was act one. But then, like, we're still, like, we don't know. We don't know what the other stuff is going to be.
The fact that she knows that she's just holding, you know, a carrot in front of us and is like, you know, it's kind of disrespectful to your fans.
She is going
to
drop a bomb on us one day and everybody
I don't want it.
Is
gonna, I don't want it
you
no
say
more.
That now?
I know. And I'm going to be hyped when it come out.
Exactly.
Doing the whole dance. You won't break my soul. But yeah, I see a lot of people ready to sell their mother's cars. I see a lot of people ready to just do what the hell they can to get these tickets. So big ups to y'all who's going to do that, because I don't really go to concerts like that. I'll do that for Janet Jackson and Janet Jackson only. But big ups to y'all. I'm going to catch it on YouTube or something.
I feel the same way. I am going to see Usher in Las
Vegas. I am too. I don't know yet, but I will.
That's a plan. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Those tickets are a lot more manageable than Beyonce tickets, but yeah, no, I'm going to see. I have seen Beyonce perform live.
Me too.
So I've gotten the chance to see her.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, if I don't get any press tickets, I don't know if I'm going.
Unless somebody buy me tickets.
Clearly not on her press list because I was not in Dubai.
Okay.
I didn't get that invite. So.
Right.
But I know people are like mad at her about that. People are trying to. I've seen people like say boycott her and.
Ain't nothing gonna happen. No, nobody gonna boycott her. Nobody. Is it because she performed in a country that doesn't support LGBTQ or women's rights and stuff like
that's
that?
That's what it is.
I don't think she cares, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think she cares about those issues, but I mean, if you're going to boycott them, I mean, there's stuff going on here.
Yeah.
That's kind of like. So, like, where do you...
Where's the line stop? Where do you draw the line? Yeah. So, big ups to... what else? We got 50th anniversary of hip-hop, Black culture.
Hip-hop turns 50.
That's all you, baby girl.
Yeah. You, so...
That's all
tell
you.
Tell me about your upbringing. Like, What did you listen
Michael
to?
Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
And oldies.
Michael Jackson is surprisingly, or was surprisingly, hip hop.
Yeah, it was. It was. Okay. Listen, jam. Here comes the man. Hot jam. Listen. All right.
Prince too.
Like, literally, I mean, but that just goes to show how beautiful hip hop is the voice of the voiceless. You know, I grew up, watching and listening to the Jacksons and all oldies, but hip hop got a lot from the oldies. So I still, you know, I respect so much about it. I remember seeing, like, rapping LL Cool J's Hey Lover, like, in elementary, and like, and knew every word, didn't know what the hell I was saying, but knew every word, and like, visualized the music video in my head every single time. So, like, you know, I did grow up with more so 90s hip hop, even though I'm an 80s baby, just because I couldn't really listen to it. So I snuck off to listen to it. You know what I mean?
LL Cool J is probably one of the first men I ever had a crush on. I probably was like two.
Wow.
he's one of the artists that was played in my house, or that I would hear, and because I'm also an 80s baby, and you know, I think Yo MTV Raps may have been around by the time I came along, but like, hip hop in general, I think, let me segue away from the LL stuff. it's an interesting art form, because like, so I've written about the trajectory of how hip hop came to be. Like, that stems back to West African griot traditions, but also to slavery in the Americas, the Caribbean and the United States, and how, like, the slaves would pass time by singing work songs, and also they used these work songs as coded language.
Yeah.
So they were like the original diss tracks. Like, they were on these plantations singing these songs, dissing the hell out of the overseers and those people. And they didn't know what they were saying.
They're like, wow, this sounds pretty good.
Exactly. Right? But hip-hop has definitely had an interesting trajectory. And even like, Michael Jackson is one of the artists I used to criticize MTV for not showing black artists, hip-hop artists, black artists, really. Because that's the thing. I grew up, so hip hop was in its infancy. So yeah, like I said, I kind of remember LL Cool J, I Need Love, and like, oh, he's cute. Like, what is this? What is this that I'm feeling?
I do remember the Salt and Pepper. See, it like that was played at my birthday parties when I was like two or three. You know what I mean? And I do remember seeing the videos like this. So with my family being African, and I saw that they was listening to that back then. So I do know that. It touched so many people.
But
it
you also had some black elders that didn't rock with hip hop at all.
Of course.
That was a whole thing too, like getting it on the radio. You had some black people who were like, why are you listening to this jungle music? Yeah. Or like, there was respectability politics involved in that too. Like, oh, they're not creative. They're just taking samples and just rapping over it. That's not creative. But a lot of these artists, like Tribe Called Quest, for example, they basically revived Muddy Waters' career. Muddy Waters is a blues man. Oh, I'm a super music history, black music history nerd. Right. So, but Muddy Waters is a blues singer. Or he passed. He was a blues singer, and Tribe Called Q-Tip would sample a lot of his stuff, and it kind of gave him new life. So, and that's not just the case with him. A lot of these artists, because you know the music industry, business-wise, was the Wild Wild West, and a lot of the artists used to get stiffed on money. So then when hip-hop came around and it was like, oh, you're going to sample me? Okay, well, I'm getting paid. So, you know, interesting genre, fascinating genre. It's gone through lots of ebbs and flows. You know, I don't know what's happening right now. I'm just going to be the old person in the room. I mean, no, but there's some artists that I still mess with, but for the most part, oh, no.
To me, I'm going to be the old person. All right. It's just weird to me when I hear hip hop artists or rappers say, yeah, I just started rapping last year and now they're Grammy nominated. Or, I just went into like Tekashi 6ix9ine. I just went into the booth and just talked shit and got Nicki on it, and now it's the number one song.
And it's because they go viral for being trolls.
Yeah, so I
and there's no artist development.
You don't need it. You don't need that anymore.
When you see them at festivals and they're on stage out of breath and just
looking
boring,
crazy. So I do hope that the quality of hip hop And just the respect in the art and the craft does come back. I do. There are bops that I do like from some of these influencers. I don't call them rappers.
This is the age of influencer rap.
Yeah.
That is
literally.
That is
when
thing.
Somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, I got a dope beat. Let's put you on." And I was like, "Excuse me, who, me? You know what I mean? I ain't a rapper, but you're an influencer. You have a crowd that wants to see." Listen, once it becomes a part of my heart and I do feel like I have music that I want to put out, then I will. But I'm not about to join this whole, you know, this whole trend of people who don't have the talent or the passion.
There's a level of self-awareness that I think is disappearing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's the same thing with people singing. Like, oh, you don't got to know how to sing. We just put you on auto-tune and you're good.
It's annoying. It's annoying to me. But that's the world that we live in today.
Yeah. But going back to the celebration of Hip Hop 50, yes. There are elements of hip hop that we should celebrate. I hate that it's a lot of it now. A lot of the hip hop that seems to be pushed is more on a destructive front, self-destructive in terms of Black people, like with, you know, glorifying alcohol and just
drugs and violence, suicide,
bragging about killing people. Listen, hip hop's never been perfect, never had a perfect track record, but I think there's more of the glorification of negative now getting pushed. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with a lot of different elements. But I definitely want to, because I feel like you can find any kind of artist now that floats your boat because of the internet. I definitely want to see more positive artists, more creative artists get pushed, because hip hop is a very creative art form, and I think it comes from a spiritual place.
It does. Like,
you definitely have to have some level of smarts and creativity, and just be able to tap into another dimension to bring out the words and the melodies and the lyrics. I mean, it's what our ancestors did. So,
absolutely.
And not just the rapping, but dancing, break dancing, producing music, and graffiti. People don't really talk about the elements. And
do y'all history, man. Do y'all history. Do y'all history. It's so much more than what you're seeing now.
Look up Big Daddy Kane, man. He's one of the early hip hop showmen. Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper. You mentioned Salt and Pepper. Mm-hmm. They were some of the like early show, the ones that really gave you for real show.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was amazing.
That was really good.
Listen, we had a whole lineup for y'all. Felt good. Didn't even need a guest. All right. So, I can't wait for you guys to see the next episode. We have so much more planned for you guys this year. We hopefully will take this on the road and start seeing some of y'all in person, too.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Anything you want to say at the end?
No, I think this was a great episode. Looking forward to content coming out on socials and the website. We have things in the works. And, keep checking back in.
Yeah. Happy Black History Month and keep being Black.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.